With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, Sebastian, I read that your mum enrolled you in a judo class instead of getting you to play football when you were a kid. How did you react to that?
Oh, when I was a kid, I used to play football everywhere and all the time. So when I could choose a sport that I wanted to do, of course, I choose football. But yeah, they say I was too young. But
how young is too young?
I was six, so I don't think it was too young. It's just that my mom wanted to put me on the judo. So judo, I did it 3 years. But after that, you know, it was not my thing. It was not my thing. And I went to the football club of my city, and I grabbed the paper to get the subscription.
So that's Brittany. Yes.
No. This is after that. Initially, it was Vigneux-sur-Seine, where I grew up.
Okay.
Yeah, and after that, when I made a tournament after 1 or 2 years, I don't remember. We made the tournament of Vigneux, my city, and then Brittany came and just talked with my father, and we decided to go over there.
So Brittany's got an incredible history as well. We think of Menez, we think of Evra, players like that. Were you aware of that history when you were joining, or was that something you learned about afterwards?
No. In the club, I think everyone knows that when you come in the club, there is some photos and things like that about the old players. So when you come here, you know that a lot of professional football player was here.
So when you were young and when you first started to play football, from when you were playing in the street and with your family and friends to the point where you start playing more formally at Bretigny, were you always a striker?
Not really, because when I were young, sometimes you play tournament especially tournament, and you know that you don't have a real keeper to start the tournament. So
did you get put in goal because you were tall?
No, but I went to the goal only when it was like a tab shout out, and I stopped some penalties. So so that's a good thing.
Eventually, you end up going to the Auxerre Academy, very famous academy, but you were tricked into going on trial almost. You just thought you were going there for training, and it was actually a trial. Why was it hidden from you? Was it because they thought you'd be nervous, or they didn't want to make a big thing of it for you, or what was the idea behind that?
That's the question. I don't know. My mom just received a call from the trainer at that time, from Bretigny, and he just said, "Yeah, let's go there to to see how the level is. Just train and that's it." And when I came here, it was, I don't know, maybe 100 kids. was just crazy. And I wasn't really prepared. I went to the dentist just 2 hours before, because I got I got something.
Braces.
Braces, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it make it tighter. So it was painful. And I had to play like that. I was so mad. And I don't know how is that possible, but after the trial, it was on 2 days. So I had to sleep over there also.
Okay.
So after that, they came to see my parents and say, we would like to talk with you about your son. And my dad said this to my mom, and my mom say, "Yeah, stop to saying bullshit." she couldn't believe it. So they went there and they just say, "Yeah, we want your son for the next season." We were in May, and the season was just starting in August. So my parents had to prepare themselves to lose their son in 3 months.
So was that more difficult for them than you? Because you've said in the past you're okay about moving away from home, even though you're only 13 years old. I guess for some kids and for some families, that feels like a massive thing. You're okay about it. How were your parents about it at first?
No, my parents, of course, was not sad, but... You know,
it's a big step, right?
Yeah, it's a big step. So they knew it was something good and crazy for me, and also for them. But yeah, also the other part is that they couldn't see me during I don't know, like 6 weeks, because it's the every 6 weeks you have like holidays in France. So, but anyway, it was not that far from my hometown, because it was only 1.5 hours driving. So. Okay. I think was okay, you know. Sometimes the weekend they came to see my games, or just spend time the weekend with me. During vacation, I was coming back home, so was okay. You know, for me it was easy, because I just did my passion and the thing I really love to do. So was okay. Was really good for me. But I know that some other kids was more affected by this distance.
Yeah, I guess for you, the opportunity to just play football every day, that's what a lot of kids really desperately want. So if you take the distance stuff out of it, that bit of it's as good as it gets, right?
Yeah, that's the price. The price. If you want something, of course, it will cost something too. So, it was just a chance to become professional. Even if at that time we don't really know how it's possible to become professional. Now you play in this team, but what I have to do to be professional? So this is something that we didn't want to think about. Just play every day, go to school, just enjoy.
But still, you know, there's a path there. I mean, especially at Auxerre, it's a club that's got a great history of producing players going back to the days of Giroud. And, you know, you think of Auxerre, you think of Cantona, you think of Baziboli, you think of Djibril Cissé, players like that. So when you were, you know, chatting with your colleagues, with the other kids there, was there a sense of that? Was there a sense of there's a place you're going, not just the fact that you're playing every day?
No, of course. At my time, to be in Auxerre, everyone knew that it was quite a lot of discipline.
Yes.
A lot of discipline. We know that here it's difficult, because there's a lot of players, a lot of quality players, and we knew also that because of the distance with Paris, you have a lot of people from Paris.
Yeah.
And we know it's difficult, because a lot of good players come from Paris too.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of players, because at that time also in the after the first team, there is like a second team and a third team in senior. Mm. So was a lot of players, a lot of good players too, and a real academy. Like, we knew that every Tuesday, for example, was the forest. We need to go to the forest and run. Was believable. Another day, you know that you're going to run on the pitch. So it was also a physical academy. Everyone knew that in Auxerre we run a lot and we do a lot of physical
training. So it's the sense that you're kind of becoming men at the same time?
Yeah, but not because of the pitch. I think everything around football also helped me to become a man. So when you arrive there, you know that you have a lot of responsibilities. So those things help you to really grow up.
I mean, talking of the responsibility, it is a club with an incredible history. Now, just as you're coming into the team, the first team have been relegated from Ligue 1 to Ligue 2. How did that affect your experience of going into the first team when you start to make your debut in, 2011, 2012? I mean, that's a pretty pressurized situation because presumably when you come down to Ligue 2, Auxerre are the team that everyone wants to beat. There's a lot of pressure on the club financially to come back up. Was that difficult?
Yeah, of course, because at the time, you know, because Auxerre also was in Ligue 1, a lot of people, were, like you say, wanted to go over there to play. Mm. Was close to Paris. It was a good club, good academy. A lot of things was possible, but at the moment that we went in second league, things change. And also about the direction, you know, people at the top of the club was kind of fighting, you know, to change the president, to change this. So also this didn't affect badly the club because a lot of things change. And the weeks were not the same. For example, like The forest was almost done because, you know, you had to make a trip to go there, you know, with the bus. Didn't want to pay that. A lot of professionals also got fired. So a lot of people in the club changed. It was not stable. So sometimes when it's not stable, it's difficult to get results.
And it's super difficult for young players, I guess.
Also for me. So also for me, even if, of course, I was not ready to get result, but you know, I didn't have the help I need at the time. So during 2.5 years was not that easy. I played 1 week, the other week I didn't play, so was not the perfect situation for me because I played sometimes also with the second team. So you know, you was not sure about what's gonna happen the next weekend and the confidence that the people have into you. So yeah, was not that easy, but I really don't regret to leave that kind of thing because it helped me to just to grow up also.
And talking of growing up, you made this huge decision in December 2014 to go to Utrecht, to go to the Netherlands. And perhaps when you've come through the academy of like a well-known French club and you're playing matches in Ligue 2, it's not the most obvious move. I mean, you thought long and hard about that. What made you make the move in the end?
A lot of things. First, when the scout from Utrecht came to me, I just said to him, nah, I won't move over there. I know nothing about your club. I want to succeed in Auxerre and I will do it. And after 1.5 months, things gone worse. And you know, sometimes you feel trapped. You feel like, this is not the right way. Mm. I need to change something, take risk, and just try to be happy again. So I was with my wife at that time. I mean, she wasn't my wife, but she's now. So we spoke together and we say, yeah, we take the decision to go over there or maybe stay here and finish in third division or fourth division. So I say, let's go. We say, let's go. We like travel. We are not afraid just do it. You know, we are together. As long as we stick together, we can do everything. So we went there. We arrived direct. They just prepare a home for us. And everything goes fast. You know, I arrived there the 30th of December. And 3rd of January, I went in a training camp in Alicante. And I got no time to really realize what's happened. I just played the games. First three games, I think, was not easy because my condition was not the best at the time because I played too much with the second team. So I needed to be fit again. And after I don't know, maybe it was the fourth or the fifth game, I start to be a performance. So
we scored four against Dordrecht, didn't you? And that, you were the first player to do that in the Eredivisie since, I think, Bas Dost was the last one. So that must have really started you off.
Yeah, of course. Even at that time, I didn't realize what's happened because we were in the bad situation, like losing four games in a row or something like that. Wow. So when I scored my fourth goals, was just the best moment to do it because we went to the hotel the night before to prepare the game because it was the most important. And I scored those four goals. I was so happy, you know, because when you move like that, you need to get confidence to succeed because you're alone in a country that you don't really know. You don't speak the language. Your girlfriend is at home the whole day and she can do nothing. So you need to get something to give you good vibes.
And so how different was the football there? I mean, some people talk about the Netherlands as if it's a striker's paradise. We've seen like a lot of forwards do really well there. I mean, did it suit you straight away? What were the differences from France?
You know, in second league in France, it's more like a fight. In Holland, it's another type. People wants to play no matter what. Mm. So they play, they can take crazy risks. Just to just, you know, to play on the ground, to play football, and nice, it's good. It's comfortable. You know, you play football, and of course physically is not the hardest competition. So for someone like me, was maybe easier in the duels and things like that.
So you had an incredible time there. Mm. And in 2015, only Giroud, Griezmann and Gignac scored more goals out of French players in the calendar year of 2015 than you. I mean, that must have given you an enormous confidence boost. In 2015, you scored more goals than Benzema, which is incredible.
You know, everyone got also his bad move, in bad mood. So, yeah, of course, it's... At that time, I played a lot. I get back my confidence and I score goals. But I think you have to judge on the long way, the long distance on the whole career. So, of course, it was nice, but I knew that it's just a small part of career. So I just need to keep going like that and just use these good vibes to go forward. And thanks to this club and this experience, I could move to a bigger club.
And when we get to 2017, you do make that move to a bigger club. You make the move to Eintracht Frankfurt. Did you have any idea how big a club they were or how well followed they were before you arrived?
No, because I don't really watch a lot of football. But of course, when I knew about the interest of this club, I researched a lot of things. And I spoke also with a friend I have, a German one. So, of course, when I arrived there, felt good, Derek, because it's also a nice city, nice club. Yeah, everything was fine. It was nice to play there.
And when you look at that first season in Eintracht, of course, you took time to adapt, but by the end of it, you're just starting to work, as you do a lot more in the second season, with Luka Jovic and Ante Rebic. And of course, you're working with Niko Kovac. And at the end, you end up winning the DFB Pokal final in Berlin against Bayern. What an incredible end to your first season.
Yeah, that's it. But the whole season was just incredible because also everything was new. When I just came, I also had my baby. It was like 4 months, something like that. So also everything was new and I need to settle myself. Mm. And the training from the trainer was incredibly hard in the preparation. So
Is work with Kovac hard physically, or there's a lot of tactical physically discipline?
And because of physically, mentally also, you're just tired. But, you know, thanks to this, you know, the team was like really working hard for the team, you know.
So did that help you when it got to the cup final, that you've been well prepared in the beginning?
Yeah, of course. Because, second part of the season, we got some problems to win the game, because first part we were like third in the competition or fourth, and
was that physically, or was that because you're concentrating on the Pokal?
No, not concentrating on the Pokal. I think it was just maybe physically, because it's happened the year before. Mm-hmm. and we were just like losing the wrong game in competition at this moment, and it was like, what's happened? We really need to win. We won in Schalke in semi-final. Mm. And after that, we knew that we got something to play. And final is a final. It's just one game. It can be Bayern. It can be any team. Mm. It's a final. It's one game. It's 90 minutes. So everything is possible.
But it's something that's really stuck with the supporters. It's been, a launch pad for the club to go on and do even better since there. And the moment, the day after the final, you get back to Frankfurt and you get out on the balcony of the town hall, and there's this sea of people as far as the eye can see, and they're all singing, and Kevin Prince Boateng starting the chant for Ante Rebic, who scored twice in the final. Mm-hmm. I mean, it must be at that moment that you're thinking, okay, I knew this club was big, but this is incredible.
Yeah, fans there are also crazy. You know, it was like more than 50,000 people in the downstairs, and I was not speaking about the people at the stadium the night before. So it was incredibly, we knew that was something huge for the city, and of course it's kind of moment you can't forget it. So especially, it was my first season, and a lot of things happens during this season, so it was crazy moment.
But the second season went even better under Adi Hütte. You're in the top four for most of the season. You get to the semi-finals of the Europa League, and you only just miss out to Chelsea on penalties. But the reason why most people enjoyed watching Eintracht Frankfurt through last season was the connection between you, Jovic, and Rebic. What did Adi Hütte change that made you three work together so well?
Whew. I don't know what it changed. Maybe also people change. And and the first year we worked together with Ante and Luca was a bit different. We start to know each other. It was the first season. We start to learn from each other. And I think just easily, all of three, we understood how the other one is playing.
And you got very different qualities.
Yeah, that's the thing. So it was a crazy change to be efficient and make more damage to the other defense. It's because we got all three different qualities, and if we use it well and just be focused on the thing we do it the best, then I think we're going to succeed. And this is what's happened. That's the good thing, you know, when you know what everyone does the best and you use it, then it works.
Well, that's the thing that I find interesting, because if you go back to your time at Utrecht, and when you talk to French media, you're saying, I just want to score goals. I just want to score goals the whole time. But by the time you're in that three with Rebic and Jovic, you're a player who not just scores goals, because you scored 15 in the last Bundesliga season. Mm-hmm. You create another 9. You're a player who's known for holding the ball up, for bringing others into play. You're a player who, you don't need to have a lot of shots in a game to score. I think you only had an average of about 2 shots a game, and you still ended up with 15 goals in the season, which is incredible. How do you get from that point to this point and the player you are now?
No, I don't think I was different. I think the people around me just changed. And I always was like that, you know. Most of the time, my biggest problem is because I'm... This is what sometimes people was saying to me. I'm too... I like to share too much. So even if I love to score goals, I was alone on the front, up front. So I got only midfielders around me. I was the only striker. So yeah. What my task? I need to score goals. That's it. And even if I like to also pass the ball and give assists, is something nice. My first job is to score goals. And when you have other strikers with you, you know, things change. You know, you just try to be focused on the best thing to do to make the team succeed. Yeah. So sometimes if I have to score a goal or be in the position that bring another one to the best position, so I will do it.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
We can talk about your strength as a centre forward. We know you're a physically imposing guy. I think this is also the time while you were at Eintracht when FIFA had you down as the strongest player in world football.
That's fake.
It's fake.
Yeah.
Well, Adebayo Akinfenwa, the previous guy, he wasn't happy about it.
Yeah, no, it's video games, you know. People like to talk a lot. It's normal. It's a funny thing, but to be honest, I don't really play FIFA, so
I think you must be the only footballer who doesn't.
No. There is a lot, but I don't play a lot FIFA. I prefer to play like Mario Kart or Mario Party, things like that. Something change.
Yeah, get away from football. Yeah. Absolutely. So towards the end of that season at Eintracht, we talked about that semi-final with Chelsea. Now in the second leg at Stamford Bridge, you were coming back from an injury. They threw you in. Chelsea dominated the first leg, but then a team that had looked really tired because you lost 6-1 at Leverkusen the weekend before.
I think it was 7, no? 6.
You looked, yeah, 6.
I remember.
Yeah,
you. I was at the hotel and I watched the game and I was so mad at that time. Yeah, I was.
It's nothing to do with you. That's the main thing.
No, but I'm happy to don't be here at that moment.
So you get there and. Yet the team looks tired in the last couple of games, but still, you pull out this incredible performance against Chelsea and come so close to the final.
Yeah, it's we can be disappointed, of course, because we wanted so badly to go in the final, and I think we could. But we can be proud of what we did at that time, because no one expect that we're going to do that. This. Yeah, that adventure. So first, when everyone was looking at the group stage, everyone say, ah, I mean, everyone, people around was like, yeah, we don't have a lot of chance to go through the stage.
Because it was Marseille, Lazio. Yeah,
Marseille, Lazio and Limassol. Mm. So, yeah, when we won the first game after the red card and we were 1-0 down and we beat Marseille 2-1, was just first aid, but okay, was good.
Was that a big deal for you and your friends in France, going to Velodrome and winning?
Yes and no, because the stadium were empty. Oh, yeah, no one could really enjoy it. So I think for the player for Marseille and also for us, you know, it was just strange to play in this stadium. And but it was a better thing for us that it was no supporters. Otherwise, it would be more difficult. And it was just step by step, game after game. We was like, yeah, we have a chance, guy. Yeah. And after that, we play against I think it was Shakhtar. When we draw Shakhtar, we say, oh, Champions League team. Okay, let's go. Then after that was Inter, I think.
Yeah,
Inter. Say, come on, again, Champions League team. We say, hey, we can be a bit more lucky, I don't know. Then Benfica. Say, guys, for sure, next round will be Arsenal or Chelsea. Boom, Chelsea. Say, wow.
So you almost played a Champions League campaign without being in the Champions
League. Champions League campaign. It was not Europa League. And finally, Chelsea, wasn't there. So I was just in the stand, watched the game. Was 1-1 at home. Was good game from the lads. They were strong. And second leg, something better could happen. But fortunately, the story wanted to finish by the other way.
So you're playing at Stamford Bridge on such a huge occasion. And then a few months later, you end up coming to England. I mean, how much does that experience at Stamford Bridge weigh on that? I know you had in your mind for a few years, you're someone who could come to the Premier League, who could suit the Premier League, your style of play. But when you've played that big game at Chelsea, how much does that make you think, yeah, this could be me every week?
No, I don't think too much about those things, you know. It's
just once the season's over.
Yeah, but you know, when the season is over, you just relax. You're thinking about the season just done, and you say, yeah, it could be even better. But yeah, it was nice. You know, I was more focused on my injury because I was scared, because a lot of people say, yeah, you need to get the operation, things like that, but I walked and people helped me also to feel better. So I was more focused on this and say, yeah, I don't want to miss the other season and I want to be fit. So I had to walk during my vacation, and yeah, it was not really calm.
So how has that been in adapting to a new country after coming off the back of that? I mean, what I thought was really interesting is after you played that game at Watford, where you scored a couple of goals, and you scored a couple of goals that I suppose a lot of people would say typical Sebastian Allier goals, very creative. You came off afterwards and you criticised your own performance. You said, oh, I could have played much better. I don't think so many strikers would have been so harsh on themselves.
Yeah, because I know how it works. You know, people like to become crazy when you score two goals and say, yeah, you will score 30 goals. Yeah, next game you score 3 goals. Oh, easy. Sometimes the games are well for you and you score goals, but you know that maybe the next weekend you won't score, you will play maybe a good game, but you won't score and you will lose. So I think we need to stay humble, stay just on the walk path. That's it, you know. After the game, of course, you can enjoy a bit because you won 3 points, everyone is happy. But after that, you know, get the pressure down, go back to work and just be focused on the next game, because it's too easy, you know, to be like more than happy, and the next weekend you don't play that good, you don't score, and you start to you know, to thinking like, I'm a bad player. Or,
so never too high, never too low.
No. Just keep working. Your time will come. I know that it will be some moment that I won't score during, I don't know, maybe two games, five games. Mm. Why not 15 games? Mm. You know, I don't wish it, but everything is possible. But I want to prevent that. And I want just to, you know, work and make the things easier for me. So, yeah, I don't need that people goes crazy when I score two goals.
So finally, is this your platform to make your push for the full France team? Because, you know, you came through all the different representative stages, under 17s, under 19s, 16s, thank you, Espoir, all of that. And you played with players like Kurt Zuma, Rabiot, Mandy. So there's a lot of them.
A lot of players are also here and also in the first national team. So, of course, it's great that I could play with them. And I wish myself, of course, the first national team. But you have to deserve it. The only thing I know, it's I'm here. I just try to do my best. If the one day needs me, I'm here. Otherwise, you know, it's a life. Mm. People are also a really, they perform well. They play in the big club Champions League every season. They I don't know, top scorer. I don't know. But yeah, just wait for your time. Keep walking. And if it comes, it comes. I will be happy if it comes.
Magnifique. Merci beaucoup.
Yeah.
C'est gentil.
Join me and Jonathan Wilson every Saturday on Football Ramble Daily for new episodes of Greatest Games in association with the Blizzard magazine. The Best of the Blizzard is available now. A perfect Christmas gift. I think so. 23 of our favourite pieces from the first 5 years of the Blizzard for you, friends and loved ones. Everything from Socrates and Scotland to St. Pauli and football smoking culture. Head to the shop now to buy the best of the Blizzard at theblizzard.co.uk.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around the duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.